Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
And now how a collision between reproductive technology and child custody laws led to a legal battle back in the 1980s that got the attention of the world.
A trial without legal precedent continued to unfold in a New Jersey court today. At issue, custody of babies born to surrogate mothers.
The contract Mrs. Whitehead signed stated she would not try to keep the baby.
The team from Retro Report this week takes us to the 1986 case of Baby M. Mary Beth Whitehead was a surrogate mom hired by a couple, William Stern and his wife Betsy, to conceive and give birth to a child with William's sperm. When Whitehead delivered a baby girl, she had a sudden change of heart and decided to keep the baby she had signed a contract with the Sterns to relinquish. Whitehead and her husband fled New Jersey with the baby, and a nationwide search for Baby M began.
Whitehead had been hiding in Florida for 87 days when police found her at her mother's house and took the infant away.
But it would be up to the courts to decide who this baby belonged to in the end, the surrogate mom who delivered her or the family of the father, William Stern. Jill Rosenbaum, Retro Report producer, joins me now. Jill, welcome.
Thank you.
Jill, describe the legal chaos that ensued when this baby was born and how unprepared, really, the law was for this situation.
Well, surrogacy was a tiny piece of the reproductive landscape at that time. It was something people did maybe within families or, there were starting to be a few lawyers around the country putting these arrangements together, but there was no law surrounding them. There was no case law surrounding them. There had never been a conflict like this. And so when Mary Beth Whitehead suddenly decided she wanted to keep the baby, there was absolutely no precedent for it. And interestingly, she went to the media before the case got to court. And so what would have normally been a closed private custody matter became just an international, I don't even know how to describe it. You know, it was just
it was an unprecedented, all bets are off kind of legal battle. And here's Gary Skoloff, who's an attorney for William and Betsy Stearns, who talked about how things were complicated in the very beginning.
The Stearns had a baby for several days. Then Mrs. Whitehead came back very upset and said she needed to have the child for a few days back in her house again, and then she would bring the baby back to the Stearns.
It was that sort of passing the baby back and forth that helped to make this case so inflamed.
Well, also, Mary Beth Whitehead had a flair for drama. And when she ran off to Florida with the baby, actually, the police came to her house to try to get the baby. She passed the baby out the window to her husband. They ran away. They were on the run for nearly 3 months. You know, she just was a very dramatic person. And so, you know, that led, the whole event to have this craziness about it.
And what law there was about this case really involved paying for babies, the idea that there would be trafficking in babies. And at one point, that was what this case looked most like to judges. Listen.
The court found the exchange of money for a child illegal, perhaps criminal, and potentially degrading to women.
And was that court in New Jersey or in Florida or where?
That was the New Jersey Supreme Court. So the Stearns and the Whiteheads all were residents of New Jersey. So, you know, that's where the baby was born, and that's where the custody battle took place. And interestingly, the lower court, the first court to look at the case, said that the surrogacy agreement was in fact completely enforceable and legal, took away Mrs. Whitehead's rights and, you know, said the Stearns could have the baby free and clear. But then Mrs. Whitehead appealed and the state Supreme Court took an extremely tough line on this. Not only did they say that it was essentially baby selling, but they were unanimous in saying it.
And let's talk about the lessons. So certainly what this case set in motion was a drama that eventually did get resolved. But now surrogacy is a much less exotic procedure. There are many, many more people doing it. What are the lessons learned from this case?
Well, it's interesting. You know, right after the Baby M case, several states, Michigan, New York, New Jersey itself obviously, you know, made it clear that they weren't going to have it. It was some states passed laws against it. Some states passed laws limiting it so that people couldn't do it if money was involved, you know, but maybe your sister could do it for you or something like that. But most states didn't really deal with it. And so what happened is it kind of grew up as this unregulated business. And now you have places where people go on Craigslist looking for surrogates, or you have very sort of well-run agencies that function almost like adoption agencies. One of the owners of an agency called it the Wild West, you know, because it's really state by state. Family law is a state matter. The other thing I think that's important to know is that Baby M was Mary Beth Whitehead's biological child. But around the same time that surrogacy was getting popular, so was a procedure called in vitro fertilization, where an egg and sperm could be joined outside of a woman's body and then reimplanted. And so what has happened is lots of surrogacy now is egg donor surrogacy. So the baby is not the biological child of the surrogate. So unlike Baby M, who literally was Mary Beth Whitehead's child biologically, a lot of surrogate children are not.
You alluded to this Wild West notion, which is exactly what John Weltman, president and founder of Circle Surrogacy, told you.
I think it is the Wild West in surrogacy because there's no required license. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be a social worker or a psychologist. People are entering this, some of whom are very honorable and some of whom are not so honorable. I'd like to see regulation take place.
Is there a clear takeaway on what regulations are needed here, Jill?
Well, it's interesting. The American Bar Association has a committee that drafted legislation, kind of model legislation, that they would like to see states pass. And a couple of states have tried, and a few have actually passed legislation to have their governors veto it. So I think our country on some level still has ambivalence about this. And I think for politicians, it's a really tough area. And so I don't know that things are going to change so quickly.
Speaking to us from Washington, D.C., Jill Rosenbaum is a Retro Report producer talking about the Baby M case back in 1986. Jill, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So over at thetakeaway.org, some of you are throwing away our TV brackets and coming up with your own greatest TV characters of all time.
Don St. Clair calling from Eugene, Oregon. Hi, John. And it's Doctor Who, of course.
Fez, I wear a fez now. Fezes are cool.
The immortal, amazing Doctor Who. Who else could be the most amazing, incredible, best character ever on television? Come on already. Thanks, Doctor Who.
But so many of you are also voting on our TV bracket contests. Can Tony shut down Saul below the post, get the rebound, and vote over at thetakeaway.org.